सांवरे तोरे बिन जिया जाए जलूं तेरे प्यार में करूं इंतजार पिया किसी से कहा जाए ना सांवरे तोरे बिन जिया जाए जा रही थी तबले की बहुत कुछ
again,
था
again.
कुछ था
we are live or we are just recording
recording
okay ठीक जा रहा है
नहीं सितार और तबला कर रहा था सिंक लेकिन तबले के साथ मेरी जो मेरे सुर नहीं सिंक कर रहे
दोबारा चले दोबारा कर दो
हां अच्छा सामने एक बार कह के ना उसके बाद लैप पकड़ ले फिर इजी हो जाएगा
हां सर हां तबला जो है वो शुरू से ही रखेंगे
ठीक है
सांवरे तोरे बिन जिया जाए ना सांवरे तोरे बिन जिया जाए जलूं तेरे प्यार में करूं इंतजार पिया किसी से कहा जाए ना सांवरे तोरे बिन जिया इंतजार पिया किसी से कहा जाए ना
how many days did it
And we rehearsed totally in the Fulbright House.
Was it for 2 days or 3 days that you rehearsed there?
5 days.
5 days?
I think it was about five days, yeah.
Yeah, I only came the last day.
Yeah, you know, you only got there at the very last minute.
Back in Lahore University.
It was kind of half the time. No, I was there for 3 weeks. It was one whole week of my grant was working on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you had the last few days free to yourself, probably.
Well, we had this is terrible because I can't remember the name of the
Before
holiday.
Before we keep recording, I probably should introduce you to everybody.
Yeah, let's just go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Susanna Mars, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I feel so fortunate. One of my fellow resident artists here at Artist Repertory Theater is Linda Alper, and she is a part of an incredible exchange with some Pakistani artists who are in town this week, and there are going to be shows this week at Artist Repertory Theater and all sorts of events to attend. You can see all this information at Artist Rep's website at www.artistrep.org. And the music you just heard is a beautiful singer by the name of
Razia Abrar.
Yeah.
And the two musicians, can you tell us their names as well?
Yeah, so one is called Irfan and the other one's called Vaji.
And they were playing the sitar and the tabla.
Yeah, so Irfan plays the tabla and Vaji plays the sitar.
Right. Now, Kazim is a part of this exchange as a stage manager. Yeah. Linda's here with us. The two of them are going to talk a little bit about this exchange, kind of all levels of it, how you became involved, how Linda became involved, and why we think that this is an important type of thing that should keep happening here as an arts exchange. And you can speak to first how you got involved with the project.
So I've been working with Theatre Wale for almost a decade now. Fizza Hassan, who actually, you know, started the company off, and I was the artistic director of the company.
Okay, now you're very young, so 10 years you've been working for them?
Yeah, I was actually your student. So I started off by hall management, doing odd jobs here and there. Then in my O-levels, we used to put up plays at school. We had a little company back at school. And then in 2011, when we actually started Theatre Wale as a proper company, that's when I started acting. And I was actually, I mean, now that I think about it, I was actually doing stage management way before I realized I was.
You're just very organized.
Yeah, so I did that for that. And I was part of the previous project as well. So I happened to be off from university. I just, you know, finished my undergrad. And Fizza said, hey, you want to, you know, be the stage manager for the project, and I was super hyped because I've worked with Linda a little bit, and David and Kathleen before. So.
And that those are the other two American counterparts to Linda on this project. One of the actors, David, with I worked at Portland Center Stage on Fiddler on the Roof, so it's a small world.
And I knew David and Kathleen very casually at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, at least 20 years ago.
Wow,
we met.
That's amazing.
I know.
So I'm curious, how many people in your school were interested in theater? Was that something that was a viable future for you in terms of what you want to do in your life work?
Oh, no, it's not a viable future at all. So we
just like here.
Yeah, it's even worse back home. I mean, at least you have a few spaces here. In Samba, there was only one hall that we could actually do something, and it was the, you know, only decent place around. And now it's so expensive that you can't even go there anymore, and it's government run, so they censor all, you know, a lot of stuff that, you know, is performed there. So that's more or less not an option for us anymore. But yeah, back at school, there weren't a lot of people who were interested in it. We were just like this group of weirdos, and Fizza was our mentor. So we'd just be off doing our things. We'd have really weird events like plays or little readings that we'd put up in a few days and just do it, you know, every now and then. And sometimes people would show up. Sometimes we did it in front of like two people, but, you know, we carried on nonetheless. So,
and Kazim is actually also painted. They actually have a new space, partly because of, we should explain what this grant is, but which is really fabulous, and is that's what actually the piece that we're doing.
Right,
that's
about
ground
space.
Is about that, and some of the new paintings on it were painted by Kazim.
Yeah.
And the piece is called On Common Ground, and it's funny, as you speak about your experience in theater and drama, it sounds very similar to how young people are in theater departments in high schools all across the country. You know,
yeah, except there aren't. There's no theater department in your high school, is there?
No, and not in high school. In university, there isn't a theater department. It's usually associated with the film and television department. But it's not exactly, you know, like a sketched out curriculum that, you know, students follow.
More in terms for me, I was thinking about the young people's interest in theater, and they're getting together no matter what, and they're, like you said, a bunch of weirdos.
Yep.
Because that's a lot of films in the U.S.
Although there, I really found when I worked with people, there's not a lot of support, familial support for doing this.
Mm-hmm. You know? Makes sense. Because it's not something that your parents would think, great, you're going to be so secure.
Yeah.
And it's particularly for women.
Of course.
Getting women to do this, we have some very bold and rebellious women.
Well, even when we were just doing the song there, I noticed that Razia stopped the song, and I was surprised by that because of what I thought about the culture, but that's obviously not the way. And maybe
till you meet Fizza.
Oh, yeah. She's really headstrong. So women in our project, actually, Fizza's been running it since a while, and, you know, it's been 2 days since we're here, and we know that the moment Fizza gets here, and she carries the show with her.
Right.
So how does that work when you're back at home? How does that work with the government censoring and how you take those types of risks? And what are you risking? What could happen?
So, as you know, it's no secret that in Pakistan, as it is actually everywhere else in the world, a little more so in Pakistan, that you can't speak out against the state-sponsored narrative, be it political, be it religious, be it, about your everyday issues, anything that it is. So a lot of plays, Theatre Wale, actually started out, if I were to talk a little bit about the history of it, we actually started out by doing translations of French plays because it was associated with the French Cultural Center in Islamabad. So we used to do art plays, mostly. And that was something that was really strange for people because, something like No Exit being put on and something like art or a play by Yasmin Raza, that's not something that people expect. Right. So we have theatre in Pakistan. It's more like a go-between, a farce and a musical. But that's a different trend. It's not what you can call theatre exactly.
Like Molière or...
No, we've done Molière before. Uh-huh. That's that's still something different.
Fizza has. But that's not what's commercial.
Yeah, that's not. So commercial theatre is mostly involving music, dance, jokes here and there, like a farce. So that's where we're taking the risk. And we've had people, after a lot of performances, come up to us and, talk to us about it, that, what you said, this is incorrect, this is not something that our government, says, it's not something that, goes with our country and its policies and its politics, which on common ground talks about. So that it is pretty risky, back home. Yeah. But we've, never stopped, nonetheless.
To speak the truth, your personal truth is getting more and more risky everywhere we go.
Yeah. And that's what's great about On Common Ground. When you see it as a whole, you don't really realize that it's not explicitly about the similarities between the American culture and our culture.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you see, people talk about public spaces like mosques or streets or parks, you do realize that at the end of the day, we do share a lot of experiences, more so than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we're talking about our culture completely, we don't, talk about the American culture, it's still, that's how it's relatable, because you realize that a lot of things that we do back at home, people do it here. We just have a few cultural differences.
Is this the first time you've been to the United States?
No, it's my second time. Mm-hmm. I came with Voices of Partition, our previous project, before in 2015.
In 2015?
Yeah, I was acting back then.
And so when you come, you do this project, and then will you go straight home, or will you visit around in the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm just here for a week. Another week after that, go to L.A.
Like it?
I love it. I mean, we were in the East Coast before, and now we're on the West Coast, so I love this place. It's, it's really cute.
After they finish here, they go to Ashland,
Great.
The Oregon Shakespeare Festival
right.
for a week. And I should also just mention, this is Kathleen and David that we're talking about, mm-hmm. are Kathleen Mulligan, who's a voice and speech professor at Ithaca College, and David Studwell, who was your acting partner,
mm-hmm.
And fabulous singer in Fiddler on the Roof. And they began this with a previous project where there were stories of partition that they did. And then I kind of leaped in and organized this project, really... from their beginnings. So and we applied for and got a very generous grant from the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad. It's a cultural affairs grant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we're doing this.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is
so
amazing.
Wonderful that they're funding this.
Yeah.
So how was it for you to travel to Islamabad?
Well, it was fascinating. I went first. The first time I went as a Fulbright specialist. Mm-hmm. So it was somewhat different than later when we went on the grant. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Theodore Wale. And I was basically kind of at the tail end of Kathleen and David's project, who I knew very briefly. We really don't know each other very well. Mm-hmm. We're getting to know each other now. And helped finish up that project to send them off. And actually the idea I got then was Fiza was talking about wanting to do workshops. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring them to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, actually to have education training there, because I happen to think that the Oregon Shakespeare Festival does better integrated theater workshops than anyone in the world. Wow. As if I know what everybody in the world does, but mm-hmm. they're just world-class education department. And And then I thought, wouldn't it be great if you could see shows? It's just grown from there, and then Ithaca College got involved. Mm. So, and then we got the grant, and so here we are. So I went on that visit, and then I came last December to develop the script mm-hmm. with, and it's all their stories, their writing. I just edited it and compiled it, devised it. And then David went, and also we started with a workshop of writers. Mm-hmm. And from that, we picked more writers to continue and write the script. Then David came, and because David's the director, and he did a workshop with actors, and we had to have half new people in this project. Yeah, that was a requirement.
Condition.
And I think that's really great. I'm really happy that we have our three musicians have never been to the U.S. before, which is really cool. Razi has never been out of Pakistan, who you heard sing. Mm-hmm. So David came and did acting workshops, and out of that picked actors. So some people are only writers, some people are only actors, some people are both writers and actors. And then David and I came overlapping, but pretty much at the same time to finish the writing and stage it. Mm-hmm. And then just very recently, because there was time in between, a couple of months in between, and Kazim ran, you should talk about that, ran all the rehearsals while we were gone and runs them while we're there. Kathleen, who's went and did vocal work and last minute work and the heroic job of overseeing the visas and the travel, which is just a monster.
And the one preview performance we had to have back in Islamabad. So Kathleen put that, because when David left, I mean, we didn't have that much time, so he was still putting it together, and Kathleen came and we had to put one show before going off to the States. And she really brought it up together. But that day, I mean, it was just incredible how we managed to pull things through, because so we have our space and we just got done with the set in the morning, so we had the deck in the same day as well. Mm-hmm. And then it started raining.
And it's outdoor. Their space is an unused chicken farm.
Yeah.
That's what is becoming the Islamabad Arts Hub.
Yeah.
So it's out. So the biggest performance space that really, where we could approximate the size of the stage here, is outside.
Yeah. Mm. And everything was wet. We were like, okay, what are we going to do now? So we just waited for a little bit, and then we just cleaned everything up, and people still showed up. Mm. And that was an amazing surprise. We did not expect
Who
that.
Who came?
A lot of people.
Who were they?
Honestly speaking, a lot of them weren't even the people who usually come to our show. So there were a lot of new people. And the interesting part is we didn't reach out to a lot of people. They came by themselves. We didn't publicize this event.
How did they find out?
Through word of mouth, through following our page. And that was incredible, because our farm is a little bit outside the city. So a lot of people find it, you know, a little inaccessible, even though it's not really. So they don't show up, but we had a good 70, 80 people show up. And for us, honestly, you know, back home, that's a good audience. It's a decent size.
And by the way, I should say right now we are completely full for our two performances. There is a wait list and there will be no shows. So if people want to come, it's this Monday and Wednesday at 7:30. If people want to come
at Artist
Repertory Theater.
And there are some
talk about the music events.
Because
people, they might be able to be seated, but they might also get turned away.
And I'm not sure if this is the case, but I'll put it out there. Often we've got the television going in the lobby, and they could potentially hang out in the lobby and have a glass of wine and watch.
On the 28th on Wednesday, because the show itself is only about an hour and 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So if they came on Wednesday, Independence Day, mm-hmm. and they didn't get in, they could
absolutely watch it in the lobby.
Enjoy a drink in the lobby, mm-hmm. and then
there's going to be a music event where we've invited all sorts of wonderful musicians from town, including Stephanie Schneiderman and Tony Furtado,
and you,
me. I'll be there. I won't be there maybe on the evening of the Wednesday because of rehearsal.
Right.
But Tuesday we're having a lunch event. On the 27th, all sorts of incredible musicians will be there, including Tom Grant and a whole host of people, which I will put up on the website, and come and sit with us and make music, listen to these beautiful artists, including Razia and the instrumentalists who accompanied her. They're going to share with us. We're going to share with them.
I hope you play together at some point. They play fusion music, so I'm hoping that happens.
And if you're a musician and you're listening, come and play. It's absolutely an open event.
In the lobby, so hopefully we will... Hopefully we won't expand, you know, any further than the fire laws allow.
Right.
That's our only limitation.
Right.
How many people?
The lunch event on Tuesday is really a lot of fun. I figure everyone's just going to bring their own lunch. I think maybe I'll bring some drinks and stuff. And we'll just hang out for an hour in the lobby. We've got a piano. If you're a pianist, come play. Bring a fiddle. Bring your clarinet. Bring whatever you've got. And everyone will share music, plus a lot of well-known musicians here from Portland are going to be there, and I'll put them on the site when I post this podcast so that you know who's going to be there, in case you're a fan and you want to see those people in particular. But this project is astounding in its breadth in terms of a process-oriented piece and an international exchange. There's so much to it.
It takes a village.
Yeah. But I think I felt in the small way that I participated, people, when they hear about the project, they gravitate to it. It's like a magnet. Maybe like...
That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, the way the audience appeared to you. Yeah. It's,
it is unusual, and it is an opportunity people are not going to have again.
Right.
It's unusual. We were at the hostel the other day, and
we've been here two days,
mm-hmm. and... You know, like a few dozen people came up to us and they were like, we want to see the show, but it's booked. And we didn't know those people at all, and they were just so interested. We'd, you know, like chat over, smoke or drink, and we'd talk for hours at a stretch.
Oh,
like
so
last
great.
Night.
Have
about,
them come to lunch.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have to do a few songs in the patio at the hostel.
Yes, we could do that, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those people, they really wanted to come. I mean, and they're, you know, people from all over, they're not even from here. They're Europeans,
you know,
there's a group from Australia,
a group from Australia.
Yeah. And you know, how often is it that you come across something like that?
And they're all together in the same houses.
What's so amazing about it to my mind is, especially right now when we all need a bit of hope in regard to being able to connect internationally,
mm-hmm.
I think that what you guys are doing is the truth. That by being in, like, listening to that music in that room that you just heard, everybody, it's the type of emotional reality that's real, and that the fear-based reality that's trying to be put forward
mm-hmm.
doesn't feel as real as what you're really doing, and all the people wanting to hear your music, that's real love.
We had a saying that in another Fulbright grant that I did that I really loved, which was a little more knowledge, a little less conflict. Mm-hmm. That you learn one person at a time, somebody else's story, somebody else's reality, and suddenly it just breaks down all that stuff. We're just people, you know,
right.
and you find out.
All it takes is one story sometimes. I mean, before mm-hmm. the music performance, we have these four or five pieces of people's own personal story. And there's, you know, very day-to-day things that happen to us and events that have happened to people in their past. And that's, you know, that's how you connect, because you realize that these things happen on a political, whatever level, but these people, what they're feeling, we feel the same way. Everyone feels the same
mm-hmm.
way. You know, they suffer at loss, you know, when they are in despair or whatever. So it's a basic root, ground reality.
And also I think you guys' sense of humor. I was kind of surprised when people started writing how incredibly funny and irreverent a lot of it is. It makes me laugh and
some
laugh
of it gets
laugh.
Lost in translation. We're funnier in Urdu.
Oh, shoot. Well, I guess there's one writer who didn't come, Asad, who writes these short stories where...
His sense of humor, he cracks me up every single time.
People would be on the floor laughing when he would read them in Urdu, and I would feel so left out that I couldn't.
But did you hear the translation simultaneous or no?
No, those would get, most everybody that's here speaks English, but two of our writers, who are really wonderful writers, write in Urdu.
Mm-hmm.
And so then other people translated them and translate, like Fizza and Imran. Did you do any translating?
No, I didn't.
Fizza, but they did a really lovely job. Yeah. To my ear, the English sounds very rhythmic and right.
But the humor doesn't come through, in your opinion, you think?
Well, like, Asad has all
these
puns.
Oh, it does, it does. But I'm just saying that it's, you know, so incredible in Urdu. Mm.
And the rhythm, I'm sure, is...
But however, I mean, other than the humorous pieces, these other more serious pieces, that comes through, I mean, that feeling, you know. So it's so strong that even if it's badly translated, which it's not, it still comes through so powerfully that you know, really... feel it, that, you know, if it's...
And there's only two big pieces that were written in Urdu, I think.
Yeah.
The tea stall and the tent.
Yeah.
Everything else was written in English, because everybody else is totally fluent in English, as you can hear.
I love the idea. I mean, even if at first listen, the pieces that are in Urdu are, you know, translated, and I, as an actor, have my own opinion about what translation means and how translation impacts
emotional content. It totally does.
And it's pretty fascinating because, you know, certain plays that have been translated many times by many people, it's almost like this fabulous
puzzle. Well, and what's the difference between a translation and an adaptation? And there is no such thing as literal translation.
Oh, no.
It doesn't exist.
It's more like transliteration. Yeah, exactly. That's what we focus on doing because, I mean, a lot of nuances you don't really capture in English when you want to really literally translate. So we try to transliterate and, you know, keep the gist of it and not maybe those exact
words. And the
words.
Rhythm, which is so, you know, if you have a punchline, if you have a joke, if you put an extra syllable in it, it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, you know? It's really beautiful art, translation, and how to treat it.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, last time, David and Kathleen, David directed the play in Urdu. And he doesn't speak Urdu. The entire play was in Urdu. It was an hour long almost, and he directed it, and we never felt for a second that this person right here does not speak Urdu. And, you know, he just played off on our emotions and, you know, the pitch and the tone, and he just, you know, he was so comfortable with it.
David's a great musician, and I bet that helps him.
Yeah. I think it does.
I was thinking about when I was listening to Razia singing, and I think it's so helpful with when you're using or telling stories that have a really deep emotional depth and tragic potentially. To have music puts breath into things, and I think it helps digest the pain.
I also have to really credit David was very dogged about, which I'm so much more literary and language oriented, and I was so focused on the script, and he said, I want a sitar player, and we'd only even budgeted originally for 12 people, we were taking 14, and I was kind of like, whatever, David, you're the musician, go for it, and it's so fantastic.
Oh, it's
it's magnificent, and he's a magnificent player, and I wouldn't, you know, I was like, I didn't even hear it, but he did.
Oh. It's just beautiful, and the music. Now, if you can tell me a little bit about the song that we just heard, that would be wonderful, because as I listen to it, I mean, as a singer, I watch her physical ability to do those manipulations with her voice, and there's such a beautiful sense of her emotion just coming right through. Is that part of the culture of that particular type of song?
Yeah, it is. So the variations that you saw, you know, when she just, you know, played with her voice like that's something that's really common in what you would call ghazal or the classical singing back home. So that's something, you know, that's a really big feature of it.
It's so interesting because it's really a big feature of pop singing in the United States.
Yeah.
Is that type of manipulation? Right, Mariah Carey. Oh.
It's just different scales.
Yeah, but that is what all pop singers are trying to do those manipulations, those incredible runs. Mm. They're so beautiful.
So, I mean, when you start learning classical singing, it's, you know, the basics actually, you know, so sa re ga ma pa da ni, right? So those words, those are, you know, like the little, it's like do re mi. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Right. Oh.
So that's what they, you know, base it on, and then, you know, they play around with it. So we hear, you know, what we hear the final version of the song. But when these guys are rehearsing, it's like, okay, this is maths. And, you know, it's just beyond me, even though I've been listening to this, you know, all my life.
Oh, it's
but the
math.
Way, yeah, it's math. And the way they talk about it is, you know, it's really, really technical. And they talk about it in the same way. And what's wonderful is that our dancer as well, you know, she picks up on it because dancers back home, they're taught, you know, music first. And then, you know, they learn dance with it because they have to play to the beat of it. Mm-hmm. Especially Bharatnatyam.
Was that what Razia stopped about? Was it the entry or the beat wasn't
Yeah, it was the beat, exactly.
Interesting, I was going to ask that.
Yeah. So Amna is a Bharatnatyam dancer, and that's what they base it on. So she actually coordinated the dances with them, and, you know, they played with each other. So it's just, you know, then again, that's the common ground, you know, those basics, and it's beautiful.
On common ground, there you go. Perfect segue to the ending of this interview. You just summed it all up. I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah,
welcome.
Happy to be here. It's wonderful, actually. And the sort of response we've been getting, it's
I know, I'm a little nervous.
It's been incredible. Yep.
I'm so proud, and thank you, Linda,
thank you
for doing the kind of work that you're doing.
Well, there are so many people supporting this and working, and you are one of the many smart, competent, energetic, talented people who are helping.
Right,
so.
who are responding to the magnet force or the magnetic aura of trying to put forward or to share the idea that things are going to be okay and that we love and care about each other across international lines, and we have a lot to share.
Yes.
So I really appreciate your participating.
And wait till you hear her sing.
And the risks that you take doing what you do every day. It's really, thank you.
Yeah.
So see you on Tuesday.
Yes, indeed.
Tore bin jiya jaye.